Well, the Stone Arch Bridge is open. We did. I know everybody's complaining about construction. They got it done early. The Stone Arch Bridge is open. They just opened it like an hour and a half ago, Dan. Aren't you excited? Is this great news? This is great news.
I mean, it's not bad news.
It's news.
It's a thing.
Channel
4's got somebody
over
there. Yeah, there you go.
Live coverage. You know, why not? It's not the bridge work that I think. Well, I love the Stone Arch Bridge.
Yeah, it's very nice.
When's the last time you walked over the Stone Arch Bridge?
20 years ago.
Because this comment from you sounded like what people say, like when a restaurant closes that they didn't really give a crap about, but they wanted to act fake concerned about it, you know?
Like, oh, that's too bad. I really like that place.
When's the last time you went?
You know, a couple, 5, 10 years ago.
Dan just achieved something that to me is unthinkable.
Yeah?
Unthinkable. I could not imagine doing what you just did.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, it's given me the shakes just thinking about
sure.
it. Sure. You were on vacation.
Yeah. Did my, you know, annual kind of July, about a 5-day vacation I usually do. Maybe.
Any reason you took this particular time?
None we need to discuss.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you took you took 3 days off.
3 and then the weekend.
And the weekend.
So it was a 5-day stretch. And I did, over those 5 days, I did 2 things. Jack and squat. I mean, I did nothing over these 5 days. And I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, I didn't eat nothing. I mean, I did watch bad TV and, you know, broke out the telescope when the sky is allowed.
Right.
But I mean, it was the unplugged week of all unplugged weeks for me. Which doesn't ever mean in this job and just how I'm wired.
Because you did text me.
I did text you when the Senator Mitchell verdict happened. So I'm not completely out of it, right?
So you were...
But I realized, it wasn't until even Wednesday afternoon that I sort of looked at the rest of this week and went, there's nothing I have to do.
Hmm.
Like nothing. I want to see how long I can ride that wave. You know what I mean? Where if something comes up in the middle of the day, I need to run and go, okay, then I'll go do that. But I'm not going to plan anything. I'm not going to make any big projects. I'm not going to do, you know, I'm not going to use time off, especially in the middle of the summer like this, as, okay, now I got to go do all the things. No, I'm just going to do whatever I want, which is, if that includes like watching the Mythbusters marathon for most of a day or more than one day, then fine. Then I'm just going to do that. And it was glorious. I loved every second of it.
Can you unplug like Dan? 651-461-9226. And when you think about unplugging, like, what does that mean
yes.
to you?
How do people define that? Because I think the way you would define it is vastly different than how I do, which is, again, totally okay.
But yeah, there's no judgment. There's just curiosity.
There you go.
No judgment, curiosity, though. I'm curious how you guys define unplugging, because for me, unplugging means I don't have to walk into this building. That's it. That's the extent of my unplug.
But for you, if you're not going to be here to feel
it is difficult,
good and comfortable and whatever it is that you define, you need to be out doing things.
It is difficult for me to do nothing. It is something I'm thinking about more, though, because as our, you know, empty nester life is sort of right around the corner for us. And we've already, Alyssa and I, have had a number of weekend, anybody with kids, you know, like Saturday is, if your kids are in youth sports or dance or theater or music, Saturday is like, we got to go to this, we got to drive to that. For kids who are on higher levels in sports, or like Seth was in speech and debate, and so that's a full day, you're driving somewhere. It's a lot of that. And this summer, we've had our first taste of days where we got nothing. I think if you subscribe to my newsletter, which I send out on Fridays. There's a little section of my newsletter where I have a list of things you could do. And then I always put, here's what I'm going to do this week. And twice this summer, I've put down, I have no plans this weekend.
How hard was it for you to write that sentence?
Well, admitting it was difficult.
Sure.
Because you're like, well, that's not what I do. And then also looking at it, you're like, well, that ain't going to last because I'm going to fill the void.
Sure.
Now, Saturday night, we did stay home. I grilled some Thielen meats, grilled some sausages, and Seth and Alyssa and I sat by the fire in the backyard.
Perfect night for it.
That's all we did. And it was, and then we watched the Maple Grove fireworks. So does that count as unplugging? I would say yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Certainly for me.
I was going to say, especially relative to your everyday life. Yes, that absolutely
That's extreme
counts.
Unplugging. Yes. How do you define unplugging? 651-461-9226. What does it look like for you? 763-er. I can definitely unplug. I go for a run outside, preferably on trails. No headphones, no music. Just myself. I think that's right. I think the... Now, some people can need the music to unplug, right? To help them escape.
Or to distract them from the torture that is running.
But I find... I'm a little jealous of the running people. Every once in a while, when I think like, oh, maybe I want to do that.
No, I'm good, especially when you are out there in the winter and it's like 15 below and they're still out there doing it.
No way.
No jealousy. Sorry.
They all look so skinny, though, the runners. I'm like, maybe that's the secret. I do think there's something different to that experience when you have your ears open to the sounds
sure.
of nature. I feel that way when I bike, you know, same kind of bit.
It's, for me, when I go camping, it's similar kind of deal where you're just outside in the middle of not city sound, you know, that I'm so used to in my everyday life.
651-er, can I unplug? Ha, 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 ha. Absolutely, positively not possible in any way. But I am a small business owner.
Sure.
So there's always something to do there, no matter the day. That is the danger, right? So like in your experience with unplugging, it would be very tempting to tick off the to-do list. Because there's always stuff like, oh, I could organize this closet or I should, I don't know, there's an outlet in on Alyssa's side of the bathroom that is loose. And I said to her yesterday, I'm like, I got to fix that. Can you remind me to fix it? And I did not.
Mm.
But like now that's in my head. Like
sure.
Now tonight I'm going to have to do that. So I would find it difficult to really have the time be mine and not turn it over.
It, you know, it's obviously much easier for me being single and not having a family, right? I mean, the obligations that come with being married and being a parent, you know, that's a whole other level. So I don't have that. So
although right now, like I don't have that much.
No, but I mean, there's always something.
Yeah.
You know, that, and I just don't have anything on that particular kind of list, which I totally get. One of our YouTube folks, Jonathan, friend of the show, says unplugging means turned off the phone. I will turn off my phone when I hear that there's a nuclear explosion that's about to destroy me and everybody I know. Until then, you will turn off my phone over my cold dead body. I can't do that. It gives me the heebie-jeebies if I don't have that connection. And that's why, obviously, you know, like I said, when I texted you on Friday, it's because I have, you know, either the laptop's up with Twitter scrolling by me or I'm getting an alert on the phone. Or I can't put that away. That just isn't in the programming. Boy, I can sit around and do a whole lot of nothing.
It's interesting to think about. I think one of the things I think about with kids especially is like our kids need more time to do nothing, more time to be bored, more time to let your mind wander and try to think and not have just stuff in there all the time. It's interesting to think about. Let's break. When we come back, I want to talk about what city is your kryptonite. I had to go to Woodbury twice over the last year. I live in the opposite corner of the Twin Cities of Woodbury. It might be my kryptonite. What city is your city where you're like, ugh, not going there? 651-461-9226. We'll talk about it when we come back. Woodbury and Eagan. Those are my two kryptonite cities. I was thinking about this concept on Saturday as we loaded up Sam in the car and went to Woodbury because Sam's going to USC in a couple of weeks, and the Minnesota alums had like a send-off for incoming kids who are going off to the University of Southern California. But you have that, so like that's a significant thing, right? You're like, yep, I'm going to go to Woodbury. Which, like, if I'm in downtown Minneapolis, going to Woodbury is no big deal. From Maple Grove on a Saturday.
Slightly bigger deal.
Yeah, you're, so Alyssa and I are talking, like, how long do you think it takes to get there? Before you MapQuest. I'm like, I bet it's 45 minutes. MapQuest, what is this, 1997?
Kind of wondering.
So I went to ask
Did you print it out on the inkjet?
I like MapQuest better than Google. It sounds better.
Okay.
I MapQuested it.
Sure.
I don't know what happened there. that's so silly. Some of those things that are just stuck in your head from, I don't know. So there was the group, you know, the meeting, the sign up. You had the RSVP on MySpace, and then you go to MapQuest to get the information. So you're like 45 minutes. That is.
Was there an AOL Messenger group that formed out of it?
It's too long. Too long. It was alt.usc.alum.
Oh, so it's Usenet. Okay.
Yeah, it's Usenet. That's my kryptonite for me. 45 minutes. And you go to Woodbury and, you know, the it was lovely. These guys were very nice to host. I don't know. There were like 8 USC incoming students, which was cool. But to me, that's my kryptonite. So D in Maplewood says anywhere along the 494. Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah, for Maplewood... Yeah. Apple Valley, someone says. The roadway system is terrible. Apple Valley, what's frustrating about Apple Valley is you're coming down 77,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden it's like the crazy names of the streets. You're on like Johnny Cake Road and Apple Jack Crack-a-Lack Drive or whatever, and you're like, what is happening here? But it's Stoplight City. You're like, what happened? Apple Valley. It was going so good. I'm on 77 and I'm having a great time.
Yeah.
I'm almost to the zoo. And then.
Wait a minute.
Then it's Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Or Raising Cane's on the corner there. And off you go. That's my. Lakeville, says the texter. It's so far. Oh.
It's out there.
So we used to have friends who lived. So we had friends who lived in Eagan and friends who lived in Rosemount. And Rosemount from Maple Grove, you're going to need to pack a lunch and a snack. It is a long drive. It is funny. You're like, when you, someone from Lakeville is saying Maple Grove. Fair. Yeah.
You know, that's not wrong.
So at this gathering, there were, there was a family from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Because I was trying to figure out, I'm like, well, who came the furthest to this thing? And I think Eau Claire and me, we were tied. Because I think Eau Claire to Woodbury is probably also 45.
Yeah, it's about that. Because it's, you know, when I was going to school in Eau Claire, it was 90 minutes from Maple Grove-ish. So, yeah.
That's very.
Mine is Forest Lake.
Oh.
My best friend in the world.
Yeah.
When he and his wife built their quote unquote dream house to do it on a budget, they built out in Forest Lake. It's where they could get the most house for the, you know, the budget that they
sure,
had.
Sure.
Which is fine. But that's, you know, a solid 40-45 minute drive for me when I want to go out there and visit. And it just makes way more sense for me to go out there than it is for them to come down here. Just, again, family stuff and whatever. But now, especially this summer, when you're going up 35 and you want to take the exit that would go to their house, that exit's shut down because they're doing road work and you can't get there from here. So now you've got to go up and then into like a, you know, downtown Forest Lake area and loop around and come back. And there's three or four roundabouts to get there. And it's just...
Well, you have this moment where you're like, do I value this friendship this much?
I've asked that question. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
My friends who lived in Eagan moved to St. Paul. That was a considerable upgrade. Because you felt like... So you had to think about, like, oh, I better not drink too much.
Right.
When you're hanging out, you're like, this is very far. And you'd consider, like, do I want to spend the night? And it's always a one-way street. Nah, that's the other issue. These French, how often does Forest Lake come to you?
Oh, and not, and almost never.
Zero.
Almost
right. Never. Yeah, Eagan never came to us either. Rosemount, they never came to us. Maybe I'm just a crappy friend. No one wants to come and visit me.
Yeah, that's not my problem.
Can't rule it out for me. Jeff is on the line. Jeff, what city is your kryptonite?
The entire Minneapolis-St. Paul metro area.
Yeah, well, you're from far, you know.
Not that far, 60 miles.
You know, Wade Park is my kryptonite. Who wants to go to, who wants to go there? Who wants to go there?
I thought you maybe wanted to hear my top 10.
Let's hear it. Hit it.
Okay. I-94, 494, 694, 35E, 35W. That's five.
Yeah.
Parking, parking, parking. That's eight.
That is fair. That is fair.
I forgot the other two.
Very good. Thank you, Jeff. This texter lives in Stacy and says Shakopee. St. Louis Park, because 394 and 94 for the East Metro. Oh, so if you're in the East Metro,
yeah, that whole...
That is bad.
The exchange between 94 and 394 was about as poorly thought out as any exchange you'll ever find. So,
my in-laws live in Plymouth, and they go to Roseville to go see Dr. Turin.
Ah.
And so they were over at our house on Sunday. I was giving them alternate routes instead of taking...
Yeah.
But they also have doctor's appointments they go to in St. Paul.
Because it's really, you know, the texture talks about coming from the east going to the west, but going west to east is no
worse
picnic either.
Worse. Let's break. What am I doing? I'm just... So many texts. Part of the complaints is about the construction. It's part of the issue out there, for sure, for so many of us right now. And one of the suggestions, in fact, this morning on Vanita's show, Andy Brehm was talking about, why don't construction workers work 24 hours? Why not work at night? Not work 24 hours, but have the project going 24 hours long. Interesting reason that I had not considered why we maybe shouldn't do that. We'll talk about it next.